Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life.
All right. Hey, everybody. We're back, and I am back for the first time in several weeks with Scott Patty.
Yes, we are back. It's been a while since we've sat across the table in a conversation.
That's right. That's right. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been putting out stuff about camp and Neighbors and Nations and Romania and all kinds of stuff.
Those are great recaps. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah. It was a really good summer. Really good summer. We've had a great time.
It's funny to say that. We're talking about how it's not like it's not summer anymore. It is summer. It's just August.
Yeah.
But we mean by that, obviously, that programming.
That's right.
Ministry cycle, ministry seasons here at Grace mean that beginning of August, we act like it's fall.
That's right.
School starts back, new groups.
Yep.
All that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So kids start back, like when we're recording this, most of our kids will start back at school tomorrow, Tuesday, when this is probably coming out to people. And so everything is starting to ramp up. That's why yesterday at church, we mentioned things like people signing up for community groups, people signing up for Wednesday stuff. It's a little earlier in the life of our church than it normally is. Yeah. So it's going to feel like it's sneaking up on everybody, because normally it would be the week after Labor Day we would start those things, but we're actually starting them early.
Yeah, we did that because the past couple of years we've noticed that August, maybe it's just because of the way the school schedule is, or even people that don't have children aren't in school. It still works that way. It seems like people start coming to church, new people in August, and we would always have to say, well, it's not till after Labor Day that our community groups kick off, so they're just sort of hanging around. And we thought this year we would take advantage of new people coming in August and go ahead and get several types of things happening: new women's studies, men's leadership training, community groups. Of course, we've always started the new round of adult discipleship classes on Sunday in August. So that's why we are kicking things off a little earlier.
That's great. That's great.
And of course, children's and youth ministry do have their own cycle and rhythm, and that starts in August.
So. That's right. That's right. And to backpedal a second for July was part of the reason that we did the recap things from the summer was and because other people were preaching in July was because you were taking a study break. Tell us a little bit about what you do during that time. That happens every year.
Yeah, I try to take 3 or 4 weeks off in the summer, and it varies depending on the schedule and who's available and what's going on. But this year it was 4 Sundays in all of the month of July. So I was around. I was working here in the office a bit. I did have some pastoral care needs to attend to, and some other organizational matters. But I spent the time that I normally would spend in sermon prep, and then a little extra reading. I read some things that did not relate directly to preaching. And then I did some preliminary reading in the book of Acts, which is where we're preaching. And then I will have to say to you that just some of the mornings were just a little slower.
Yeah.
Because my schedule, my pace is that all week long I'm working on the sermon, but Friday morning a little bit, but a lot on Saturday morning.
Oh, okay.
That's when I do my final writing.
Right.
Is on Saturday morning every week. And then another long review on Sunday morning. So one of the things that was just the last 4 weeks is the Saturday morning and Sunday morning that weren't quite so intense.
Yeah, that's got to be
great. That was nice.
Yeah.
But it was great to be back.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Awesome. And you came, you know, guns blazing.
sorry.
That's right.
A lot of pent-up sermon.
That's
there.
Right, man. We can always tell a sermon when you've been off a few weeks. Yeah. It came out and starting a new series with Acts. So give us a little overview of yesterday, and then we'll talk more about Acts.
Well, yesterday was an introduction, and I know people understood that. I think it's important that we get ourselves situated, meaning we start somewhere in the text, Acts 1.
Yep.
We understand where that is in the Bible, where it is, therefore, in in redemptive history, like what God has been doing since the beginning,
yep,
and continues to do until the return of Christ. Where does Acts fit? What's going on there? So that when we're going through, it's not just like, oh, that happened someplace, sometime, but we don't understand the connections. No, we want to understand the connection. And as we go through Acts, we'll see a lot more than I could cover yesterday. But numerous times, a sermon in Acts will take us back to Abraham. Mm-hmm. Numerous times, you'll see that what's happening in Acts is a fulfillment of something that was prophesied.
Yeah.
So it really is a part of the grand narrative, we say, which is really just the grand history of God's saving work in the world.
Yeah.
And so trying to put it in that context. And then I think more specifically, just in the context of the life and ministry of Jesus, because that's the way Acts begins, when Luke says, I'm writing to you, Theophilus, and I wrote to you before about the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. Mm-hmm. And so that was what yesterday was. And the main point that I wanted our congregation to get is that when we read Acts, we're not reading something disassociated from the Gospels. We're not reading, it's not hard to make a connection. The connection is there. Jesus continues.
Yeah.
Now we always say, oh, I thought it was the Holy Spirit in Acts. And it was Jesus in the Gospels. It's the Holy Spirit in Acts. Let's don't separate the triune God. The plan of the Father, the work of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, it's all in there.
Yeah.
I was trying to show that in Acts, it's really the continuation of the work of Christ, who now is at the right hand of the Father. He has ascended into heaven,
yep,
and he is actually ruling. He's not just, this is the other thing that I'm trying to communicate, and we'll do it again on Sunday and all through Acts, is that we say, oh, Jesus ascended to heaven. Well, what's he doing up there? He must be resting. It was a tough life, you know, or he's building us a mansion up there. Mm-hmm. Jesus is ruling and reigning, and that rule and the reign of Christ. Now he broke in when Jesus came, but continues to be among us through the power of his Spirit. Jesus is Lord.
Yep.
And this is his kingdom. He's king of the kingdom. And so he's still working. He's just doing it from what we would say from heaven, you know, the mm-hmm. reign and the rule of Christ. So I want our church to understand that. And then let's don't end it in the book of Acts and say Jesus reigned and ruled then. What's happening now? He's still ruling and reigning.
Yeah.
This is still his world. It's still his mission. He's still doing it. And that way we will understand that we are a part of it as the people of Christ, the church of Christ. We are a part of this. Mm-hmm. And so that was all foundation, all introduction. And so this week we'll actually go back to verse 1 and start a real exposition through.
That's right. And 28 chapters. We're going to, you know, I won't have you speculate as to how long we're going to be in Acts. But as we start, you know, looking into it, what are some hopes that you have about going into it? And in what ways would you say that Acts is relevant to us now?
Yeah. The thing that we need to get is that what we are a part of right now is rooted in history. Mm-hmm. It's rooted in the history of the work of Christ. I think it's too easy for the church to think that this is our creation, to get myopic, to think, you know, it's just about us and our generation and our time, and we've got to figure out something in order to change the world, and we've got to come up with a message that people will listen to, and we've got to organize ourselves in such a way that people are going to want to come to church. And it's all about us. It's all about now. And it's almost as if this has never happened before and we're disconnected.
Yeah. Or that we have to like reinvent something. Right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's, you hear that, don't you? Let's mm-hmm. reimagine church, you know? Well, no. What we are a part of is God's work in history.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just a part of it for a brief period of time. And the kingdom of God does not rise and fall on our ability to figure out our moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds like I'm not, that I'm saying we shouldn't be concerned about our moment and we shouldn't be looking for the ways that the gospel can reach people in our generation. Of course we should. Only insofar as we are staying faithful to what Jesus already told us his church is about, and staying rooted in the real history of the church, which is Jesus himself,
mm-hmm.
and to understand that we're part of something bigger. We're part of God's work. The other reason we need this history of Acts and the Gospels and Acts is so we'll have confidence. We need to understand that history gives us confidence. And so we need to understand that the world is crazy, but we don't need to think that's new. It's always been this way. The first century was chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the empire, the Roman Empire was peaceful, yes, but there was always uprising. There was always oppression. There've always been natural disasters. The city of Jerusalem, where this whole thing started, the day of Pentecost, was destroyed shortly after.
Yeah.
I mean, upheavals have always been a part of human history. And yet, if you look, you can always see, you can always trace that thread of the Church of Jesus Christ, kept by Christ. The gospel message has been kept.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been stamped out, and it won't be. The end of Acts is a very confident verse. The very last verse is a very confident verse. Paul, the Apostle Paul, after all that he has been through, after all the Jerusalem church went through, after all Peter went through, after all Stephen stoned, after all this, the Apostle Paul, the last scene of Acts is he is in confinement in his own rented quarters, but he's confined nonetheless. He's under Roman arrest, being arrested and being held. And yet he is receiving people into this confinement, and he is proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he is teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and unhindered.
Mm.
And that word ought to give us so much confidence that the gospel of Jesus Christ is unhindered. Now, people lose their heads. We might lose ours. Somebody's losing their heads. I don't say that lightly. People are being persecuted today around the world.
Yeah.
So that's going to continue to happen. And one of the things Acts will teach us is that we need to give up our lives. This is hard. It is hard to say. But we may lose our lives, or things may not go well for us. But the gospel of Jesus Christ will go unhindered.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we believe that when we depart from this life, that won't, how we did it and what we experienced here won't matter.
Yeah.
We are in the kingdom of God. And so there's confidence in that. But that confidence only comes with the third thing I would say, which is a new set of priorities.
Hmm.
Are we seeking the kingdom, or are we seeking this world? Do we want to be the Church of Jesus Christ on this earth, or do we want to establish this false personal kingdom of whatever we can get in the next handful of years until we die?
Yeah.
What's our priority? Acts, it just lays out the priorities for us. So those are some things I'm hoping at the front end. I feel like I've preached another sermon. but those are the things I'm hoping on the front end. Among many other things we're going to see, there's lots of other like sub-theme things going on that we'll be drawing out. But, we want to see that we're rooted in history. And because of that, we can have confidence that Christ is going to continue his work.
Yeah.
And our confidence is going to come as we have some right priorities of the kingdom.
Hmm.
And Acts gives us all that.
Yeah, I think that's a great word, for starting a new semester in school You know, we prayed for teachers on Sunday. We prayed for students. We prayed for kids going off into college.
Yeah.
The idea that Jesus is reigning on the throne right now in the same way that he was 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And the confidence that we can have that he's got it, and the prayer that will be found faithful in the midst of that, knowing that.
Yeah. It's great. I will say this. I think one of the big challenges, I'm glad you brought it back to like the moment of like, say school starting.
Yeah.
I think one of the big challenges is to try to connect. Okay, well, if all that is true, we're rooted in history, you know, confidence that the gospel is going to go forth, priorities of the kingdom. What does that have to do with me starting school tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Or with the job that I'm going to go to the next day, or with what's happening in my immediate world,
like
time, space, on the calendar, responsibilities, what do I have to do? What does that have to do with any of that? And what we see in the book of Acts is that while there are missionaries, you know, there is Peter, and there's Paul, and there's Silas, and there's Barnabas, and there's Mark, and there's people going, there are also churches.
Yep.
And the churches are much like ours. So the big, you know, the big two, Peter and Paul, and then the people around them, they stand out because they are the apostles witnessing to the resurrection of Jesus. But tucked in all through Acts are churches.
Yep.
Dotted all over that part of the empire. And those people are doing day-to-day life.
Yep.
You know, they're not on ships sailing and, you know, with the gospel.
Right.
They're doing day-to-day life. So in Acts, what you also see are everyday, ordinary Christians being faithful to Christ, being a part of a local church. It's a collective testimony that builds on the witness of the apostles in their communities to the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So there's the relevance. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to think, oh, there's no relevance for me in Acts if I'm not Peter or Paul.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot, because they establish churches that look just like, or a lot like, not just like, but they do look like Grace Community Church.
Yep.
By chapter 2, you got the functions of that church in communities that are giving testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There's our relevance. So school, work, neighborhood, you know, relationships, all of that, and local congregation, Grace Community Church in Nashville, Tennessee, is very much an Acts thing as we function the way we're called to.
Hmm. That's great. Man, I can't wait to get further into it.
Yeah. Me too.
Good deal. Well, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.